In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last night, my daughter Caroline went to her first seventh grade dance. So after Chris and I dropped Caroline off at her first seventh grade dance, we went out to dinner. And we sat there, just the two of us, enjoyed some Mexican food and a margarita to get over the fact that our daughter went to her first seventh grade dance. So we go back to the house and we did something we haven't done probably in 5 years. We actually watched a movie together with no one else in the room. It was very strange. First of all, part of it is we don't share taste in movies. I like things that blow up, and Chris doesn't like movies at all. So it's generally doesn't happen, but we settled on one that we had both heard about. We knew it was an important movie and a good movie, and it's called The Butler. And for those of you who are movie fans, you've already seen it. It is loosely based on the true life story of Eugene Allen, who was a butler in the White House. And he was the butler for 8 different presidents. The movie started in 1927 as he was a young African-American boy who watched his father be shot down in a cotton field for calling out a white man for doing something that was reprehensible. And then it moves all the way through his life as he is trained to be a servant, and he goes into the service industry, and then he is identified as good at his job, and he ends up working in the White House. And then it goes all the way through his life and the raising of his children and all the way to close to the end of his life when he is invited back to the White House to meet Barack Obama, the first African-American president. So it's an amazing story. It's amazing historical sort of treatment of that period of American history. It's about a 70-year span, and it is remarkable to watch the movie. And there are several things that you can't help but notice. One, of course, is how horrible human beings can be to one another, especially in large groups. And more specifically, how in the history of the United States, how horrible white people have been to African Americans. There's another thing, though, that you can't help but notice when you read that section of history and also watch that movie, is how fast things change and how much change happened in that 70-year window. Both amazing progress on the one hand of how we have moved so quickly as a culture, how our eyes have been opened, the scales have fallen away, and we have seen how horrible this reality was based on skin color and gender, and how much progress has been made in that area. But also the cultural changes that were sort of in the background of the movie, that were just sort of alluded to or you saw on a TV screen in the background, other things that were going on that are not great and that make us anxious about the trajectory of the world, and sort of seeing both of those changes taking place at the same time. But another thing I thought about as I went to be a chaperone at the dessert section of the seventh grade dance is that St. Paul's has been around twice that long. St. Paul's has been around for that entire window of time, but it was around for 50 years before that and has continued now for 40 years after. That's amazing. It's amazing to think that St. Paul's, sitting primarily on this piece of property and in this very building, has borne witness to and participated in that trajectory. And if we're honest, we've been on the right side and the wrong side of social issues along the way. But all along, St. Paul's has been providing the body and blood of Jesus to the faithful in the midst of all of that change. All along, St. Paul's has been proclaiming a gospel, a love of Christ that was even bigger than the people who went to church here could even fathom. And we continue to present precisely that same gospel that is bigger than we can even imagine. So that's sort of the context of how I was thinking. Obviously, I've been thinking about St. Paul's a lot in the last week, getting ready for today's annual parish meeting. So if you are visiting with us, I do apologize. I'm going to talk a little bit about the church because we do this once a year. We have a meeting, we look at the budget, and we elect vestry members and so on and so forth. And I am called to reflect a little bit on the last year. And so part of this whole last year has been this celebration of our 150 years of our history. And we've done it in mostly playful ways. We've had parties, and we asked for the annual for the big photograph to have people in period dress, and about 20 of you did that, and so it was sweet and fun. It's marked our Wednesday night education activities. We even heard presentations of some of the old sermons that have been preached here at St. Paul's. It's also marking some things that are coming up in the spring. As we conclude our 150th celebration, we will have our annual picnic, and it will be a great celebration of our life together. And then we will finish it off with an elegant dinner in the parish hall for as many as want to come, simply to thank God for the people who have come before us and to thank God for this church. And it also will turn our attention to the future. A couple of things about 2013, though, that I think are interesting and worth noting. We talked about them for a long time today, and there's far more than I can speak to. But first, I think it is important to note that there have been no, for the first time that I can remember, maybe the first time since I've been here, we've had no staff changes in the church staff structure for the entire year. All of our clergy have stayed put, all of our lay staff have stayed put, and yeah, you can clap, I'm clapping about that, that's great. and that's been a gift. It's been a great gift to us because it's allowed that sort of stability, has allowed us to dig deeper in our faith and dig deeper in our understanding of who we are. Our education efforts have been richer because of the trust that's being built, and that is a wonderful thing. But I want to say that I am the personal beneficiary of that stability. Because things were that stable, I was able to go on sabbatical this past summer, and I was gone for 3 months, and was able to do the three things that it says in the flyer you have to do when you go on sabbatical. They are rest, study, and travel. So I did all three of those things, and for people like me and like you, somebody has to make you rest. So it was in the flyer, so I had to do it, right? But it was restful. It was restful to step away from the daily work of parish life and to think about church in a different way. You know how that is. When you're moving so fast in your own life, it's very hard to reflect on the things that are going on. So to be able to step away for a little while, allow the daily work to take place in the hands of people that you love and trust, and then think about St. Paul's in a different way was a great gift. It was restful. We also got to go to the mother church, go to the motherland. Chris and Caroline and I got to travel to England and see firsthand the way the Anglican Church does things. And it was also wonderful to be in the house for probably the last summer that we will have where everybody is home. Both boys came home from college, and so that was a sweet thing. It also allowed me to finish the bulk of my academic work on my doctorate, and then it allowed us, it allowed us to think again, like I said, more visionarily and strategically about the future of the church. And it also allowed me to reestablish some patterns of prayer in my personal life that I confess to you had grown rather rusty. And so it was very good. One of the things that happened while I was on sabbatical, and I'm mad at Jim Sorrell right now, because if you were in the parish meeting, he stole my line. I wasn't the only one that went on sabbatical last summer. Our average Sunday attendance in the 3 months of this summer dropped by 250 people a month. So I'm shaking my finger at you for that. Right? So I asked Jill, our average Sunday attendance has dropped from 300 to 284 this year. So I asked Jill to do a little math for me, and I asked her to carve out the 7 Sundays that we combined all the liturgies, and carve out the 3 months I was gone. And then our average Sunday attendance actually grew this year to 302. But in the summer, it was pretty low. So this is real. It's had an impact on the life of the church. It's had an impact on ministries. It's had an impact on the financial health of the church. Luckily, everything's back on the right track. We ended the year in the black, and our attendance is back up to normal and above a little bit. But it is an invitation for all of us to renew our commitment to be here, on Sundays on a regular basis, to come sit in the pew next to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to come and receive the body and blood of Christ together. It's very dangerous to start thinking and saying out loud all your gratitude for lay ministry and all the different moving parts in this church and the jobs that all of you do. But there was one major transition in lay leadership that begs us to mention again, and that is Beth Mayfield's retirement as the director of the Altar Guild. For 29 years, she faithfully led that group of ministers who make it possible for us to come and do this. For 29 years, you have personally been the recipient of her ministry and the ministry of the Altar Guild. Every time you come and kneel at this rail and receive the body of Christ and put your lips to the edge of that chalice and receive the blood of Christ, it is because of their kind and loving hands who have put it all out there and made it possible for us. I don't know how to say thank you to Beth enough for her leadership. We did offer a gift to the Lord on behalf of her ministry, which were some new altar hangings for the season of Advent. That's just the tip of our saying thank you to her. And she's here today. And Beth, I just want to say out loud one more time, thank you so much for your leadership. And Golda Brown was at the 8 o'clock service, and I want to thank her for her courage, for her willingness to step up and take the helm of that incredible group of people who are doing great ministry. I would not want to follow in Beth's footsteps, but we love Golda, and we appreciate her, and we anticipate great things for the future. And then our attention turns. Our attention turns when we have our picnic in the spring and when we have our big elegant dinner later. Our attention will turn away from looking at the past and thinking about the future. Anytime you celebrate an anniversary, it has two parts, doesn't it? It has a gratitude for all of the things that have got us to this place. And then, what does the future hold? What does the next 150 years of ministry look like for St. Paul's in Waco, Texas? What kind of changes are going to happen in the world around us? I don't know anybody wise enough to project 150 years into the future about what will the world look like. And how will the gospel story need to be told? How can St. Paul's think tirelessly and fearlessly about presenting the love of Christ in the world in the future? What's it going to look like? What tools will we use? How will we get outside the walls of this church and tell people about the redemptive love of Christ? How will we hold ourselves accountable to the sins that we are blind to now, as we have done in the last 150 years? And to be convicted and to confess those and to commit ourselves to being more holy. How will we respond to the changes that are out in front of us? I personally have no fear about it at all. No fear at all. Because I know what is behind the work that we have been given to do, because we have not been given to do it alone. I've said this to you so many times, but we are not the hands and the feet of God in this world. We are simply co-workers with God in the kingdom, because God is at work about us whether we decide to help or not. And if you know that, then it's easy to decide to help. It's not on your shoulders. It's not on mine. It's on the shoulders of God Himself. And I can't wait to see what He asks us to do as He ushers in His own kingdom. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.